God is good. And all the time, God is good. I notice we're a little sparse this morning, but nevertheless, the word of God must go on. I can account for only a couple of that are out. Brother Green is not with us this morning. He is worshiping down in Joliet. I believe he's on a preaching assignment down there in Joliet. Sister Sharon Williams is not in with us today. Her son is in the hospital this morning. So just pray for safe travel for Brother Green and pray for the health and welfare of Sister Williams' son, Mario. Amen. And pray for all of those that you know that may be sick this morning. Amen. This morning is a great morning. Why, you might say, well, because you got up this morning. God woke you up. He shook you gently from your sleeping and slumbering, and he got us up. And we're to be ever thankful to God for that. Amen. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O righteous God, which art in heaven, we're so thankful this morning that you have blessed us to give us an opportunity to see a new day, a day unlike we've ever seen before, or a day unlike we shall ever see again. We're just thankful for this day, O Lord. Father, we're so grateful and blessed to be here. You sent your son down to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, that we may have a right to the tree of life. We're so thankful, Lord. We're thankful for all of those that are in the audience this morning, and we're praying for the leaders of this congregation. We're praying for all of the brothers that have taken part in the services thus far, and each and every one shall come from this point on. We're thankful for them and their families as well. We're thankful and we're praying for those who are not with us today because of illness. We just pray that if it be your will, you help them to feel better, make them feel better, Lord. Give them the healing touch that you have in your fingertip, O Lord. Father, we're so thankful that you have blessed us and given us this opportunity this day to reach out and be a part of the church services here at the Stony Island Church of Christ. We pray for this congregation and its leaders and its members. We pray that the things we do might be well accepted in thy sight, O Lord. Father, we pray this morning for all who are within the sound of my voice. We pray for each and every one of them. We pray for those who might be tripping and traveling this day. We pray that you give them safe passage to and from their destination, and that they may be with us at the next appointed time. Father, we are so grateful that you have lengthened out our lives and given us this opportunity to come out this morning. We pray for all of those that we call upon from time to time, O Lord, to help us out in situations. We just pray, O Lord, that you bless them and help them to see that you are wonderful, O Lord. Father, we pray for those who are behind prison bars. We pray that you might give them wisdom and knowledge and the faith to keep on going, O Lord, even under trying conditions. We pray, O Lord, for the soldiers and the security people who stand guard in our lives and help us to be well aware of what's going on around us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for everything. Thank you for the day when Jesus marched up Calvary's hill, stretched out his arms and gave up his life on our behalf. We're thankful, O Lord. We're thankful that more so even than that, Father, that he got up on the third day and given us an opportunity to be out here in his church, the Church of Christ. Thank you, Father, for everything. Now, my Heavenly Father, I thank you and I pray that as we go into this services, that the things we do will be found decent and acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. The Word of God can save all. This morning we had in our Bible class, and I'm going to kind of be running right along which parts of that. We had Paul's credentials, and we're going to talk about Paul in a few minutes. The church should be filled with the Holy Spirit. It should be a place where people can go to and come to hear and experience things the world cannot offer. It should be a place where a person can concentrate on the Word of God. At church, we can learn about a man who was born of a virgin, a man who walked on the water, a man who turned water into wine, among his many accomplishments. A man who raised the dead, a man who transformed lives and offers eternal life, none of which the world can offer. In these couple of verses, we see the people on the way to the synagogue. And if you turn with me to Acts chapter 13, chapters 13 through 16 is where we're going to go. We're going to actually pretty much cover that whole chapter this morning. But I want you to notice the scripture was read for your hearing. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law, the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue, sent to them, saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." The word was spoken. Paul stood up after being invited to speak. He began at this time to speak on God's goodness to Israel. He reminded them of many gracious acts of God had done toward them, telling them of how good God was to them. How they were chosen and exalted people in verse number 17. How he delivered them from bondage also in verse number 17. How he had been and brought them through the wilderness in verse number 18. How they were victorious over seven other nations in verse 19. How he divided them the land of their enemies. How God had given them judges in verse 20. How he gave them a great king, a man after God's own heart in verse 22. How that he had given them John the Baptist in verse 24. Then Paul, I want you to notice this part. Then Paul began with the gospel. In verse 28, look at verse number 28, if you will. Verse number 28 says, "And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death." This is how Paul begins with the gospel. The death sentence pronounced by the rulers of that time upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then in verse number 29, we find the burial of Christ. Of any ordinary man, that would be the end of his life story. But I want you to watch verse number 30. "But God raised this man from the dead. God is so good, he even left witnesses to the people," in verse 31. Church, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, his burial, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It may further be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul declares it to be the gospel. No one else but Jesus Christ could have paid the price for our salvation. Don't I always say God is good, church? God is oh so good that he sent his own begotten son, his only begotten son, down to save us. But what was the outcome of this service? Well, the Gentiles wanted to hear more preaching and on Christ in verse number 42. Then the Jews wanted to hear more as well in verse 43. But I want you to watch this part, church. This part will put a joy in the heart of any serious-minded preacher. In verse number 44, almost the whole city came to hear Paul preach the word of God. Today, preachers are happy when we can get a handful of people to worship together upon the first day of the week. But he got almost the entire city. Can you imagine that, church? Just picture, if you will. The pews would be full. The balcony would be full, and we'd have people standing on the outside waiting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Upon the first day of the week when we come together, if almost the whole city came, it would be a joyous and a wonderful occasion. But just like some of today, there are always going to be some who try to stir up trouble. They were there back then too. In verse number 45, I want you to notice verse number 45, if you will. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradiction and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. I wish that old preacher would sit down sometime. I'm tired of him talking. That's the same people, the forerunners of the same people we have today who don't know and don't want to hear the word of Christ. But the word of God must go on. They were back there also in verse 46 and verse 47. The Jews did not feel worthy of everlasting life. So God offered it to told Paul to go preach it to the Gentiles, that they may have the opportunity to receive eternal life. The gospel of Jesus has blessings beyond what we could do for ourselves. Look at verse number 38 of that same chapter. Verse 38 says, Therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. Through Jesus Christ we are preached the forgiveness of sin. So the blessings of the gospel. The gospel has many blessings, church. The gospel of Jesus Christ has always been blessings beyond what we could do for ourselves. As Paul continued with his preaching, be it known, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. That is a blessing for all of you. If the gospel in Jesus was not presented to the world, we would have been lost forever in our sin. He preached about this man who died, was buried, and rose again so that he might be saved. Why won't the entire world accept his gracious offer to everlasting life? I wish I could answer that question, but I can't. He offers justification in verse number 39. Paul explained that the law could not offer that. Life won't justify us from sin. Only Jesus can do that. It doesn't make any difference who you are. We need the Lord on our side. It doesn't make any difference what your occupation may be. If you don't know God, you don't know truth and the gospel. Whether you are Superman, whether you are Batman, if you have a cowboy or a cowgirl, if you are a doctor or a lawyer, you still need Jesus. Whether you are a policeman, a soldier, or a doctor, all of us can be saved by the word of God. No one shall get out of this world alive. When you think about the word of God, And I just take her for what if, for example. What if everything in this Bible is untrue? Just what if you could imagine this, what if everything in God's word is untrue? But you've lived by the Bible. Then what have you lost? Nothing. Because you probably were a better person for you believed the words. And I believe everything in this Bible to be true and not a false. As I said, no one shall get out of this world alive, and we need the Savior to guide us along life's rocky road. We have the right Savior who gives us the right word, who built the right church. What else could we ask for? All we need to do is obey. If we obey the right words, worship the right Savior, and become a member of the right church, because we would have the right baptism. So when you think about it, church, what can you lose by studying the Word of God? Nothing. Nothing. The Word of God, Paul said that he was sent, the Bible class book this morning said that Paul was sent to speak to the Gentiles, the kings, and all of those people that were of importance to the people. They needed the Word of God as well as we do. So when I think about it, and I consider how good God really is to us, I ask you this question. Has God been good to you? Well, say it like you mean it. Has God been good to you? All right. If God has been good to you, you ought to be happy to say so. You ought to be happy to say that God is good. And all the time, God is good. And when you consider that this place is not full like it should be, I wish it was so full that we were bumping over and sitting shoulder to shoulder with somebody else. But you know something? I learned a long time ago, you can't make people come. You can issue the invitation. You can tell them that it's the right church. You can say it's the right word. It's the gospel that's found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. You can tell them that everything is lining up and they still won't come. Why, I ask? I don't know the answer to the question, but I ask the question. Whatever the answer is, I know it's not important enough to disobey the word of God. Amen. You can't use the excuse, I'm going to wash my car today, because the rain will wash it for you. You don't need to water your lawn today. The rain will take care of it. You don't need to water your plants this morning because the rain will take care of it. So what is your excuse for not getting up and coming to church? The doors were open early this morning, and you should have been here. And if you wasn't here, you need to answer, why not? Why were you not here? And if you can answer and give me a good reason, give God a good reason, maybe he'll hear your reasoning and consider you. But I say to you that the church is the right place to be on a Sunday morning. And it's the right church it's even better to be in. So I say to you this morning, as I always say, God is good, and God is good all the time. But when I think about those people back then, when Paul stood up at first, he read from them the law, and then he brought to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But when you consider everything in this world that matters to a person, but they won't come to church. They won't come out and serve the one and only living God. Now God, He did not die in vain. But what I want you to know is there ought to be some goodness in your heart and some spiritual thinking in your heart and your mind in order to make you come out. Now I want you to think about this. They marched Jesus up a hill, up Calvary's hill. They stretched him out on the cross and they began to nail nails in his hands and his ankles. All for us. If it had been me, church, I would have told him, I'll admit to anything you want me to admit to. Just don't crucify me. But I'm so glad that Jesus was crucified because he gave us the opportunity for everlasting life. He gives us an opportunity to be a part of his saving plan, his plan of saving us into everlasting life. And when I think even a little bit further, I think about how much pain Christ must have went through, how much toil and turmoil he went through just to save us. But I would not have. I'm sorry, I love you, but I wouldn't have gave up my life for you. But Jesus did it in a heartbeat, with no forethoughts. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed to his Father that if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Now, if the cup had been, but if not, let your will be done. That's what he told his Father. I thought about that, and I said to myself, Lord, but if I was the one praying to you, I would say, if this be your will, let this cup pass from me. But please, Father, don't give me this cup to drink of. I don't want to drink from this bitter cup. But Jesus accepted his charge, and he died on Calvary's hill to save us. And we won't even come to church on a Sunday. And I always like to tell you, we don't stay in church long on a Sunday. I pride myself on speaking a short sermon because I know people don't want to be here all day long. But if I could be like Paul, I'd be preaching till midnight. And if I preach till midnight, I know many of you would be asleep. Some of you would get up and walk out. The rest of you would be just stretched out on the bench. Because what's wrong with Brother Carter? He's preaching too long. But I know one thing about it. As long as I'm preaching the word of God, you should say nothing but amen and keep going. But I tell you, while Paul was preaching during that long sermon, and we don't really know how long the sermon was because it doesn't tell us if it lasted 2 hours, 1 hour, or 3 hours. All we know is that he preached till midnight. But I want to tell you something. If I could preach till midnight, Brother Jackson, I don't know how I would carry on till midnight, but if I could go till midnight, I'd probably cover most of this Bible. I'd have in mind many of the sayings of Jesus Christ himself. I'd tell you how good it is to be a member of the Lord's body. I'd tell you how good it is to be a member of the Lord's church. I tell you how that God saved us that we might help to save others. We might give the word to others that they might save themselves. I would tell you that God is the best God and the only God that man ever needs. I would tell you that God is the best that there ever was. I would tell you that God sent his only begotten Son to save us. I would tell you that God is all right this morning, church. I would simply say to you, if you don't know Christ and the pardon of your sin, you need to come to know him. I would talk about the 11 o'clock Christian if I could. But I don't want to get on the 11 o'clock Christian this morning. I would tell you how that when you come to church, you ought to leave your troubles at the door and come on in, because when you open the door, Satan is going to come in anyway. So I would tell you to get on inside and hear the word of God being preached. I would tell you when you've sang the songs that have been prescribed by the director of music for the director of songs for the morning, you need to then be willing to listen and hear the word of God. I would tell you how that end up at the end of the sermon, you ought to be willing to give back to God. And somebody might say, well, I don't have much money. Well, give of what you do have. That's all that matters, is that you give. Give the way God wants you to give. And I know the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Isn't that right, church? When you give like you should, God will be pleased with you. But one more thing I want to say to you. I would then tell you, if you're not a member of the Lord's body, you need to stand up, come up, and become a member of the Lord's body. And right here we have the pool that's full of water. I know it was filled yesterday because I was here yesterday. And the water was running and the water is ready for you to be baptized. And if you're not a baptized member, you need to question your own self as to why I'm not a member of the Lord's church. And once you become a member of the Lord's church, then you can ask the Lord to help you to be faithful and continue on in his word. And once you continue on in his word, you'll learn to obey and do the right thing. And there's nothing wrong with obeying the Lord this morning. It's better than not obeying the Lord. If you know God, you'll know how good God is. See, I didn't wake myself up this morning. I woke up pretty early this morning. I wake up early most mornings and I just lay there and think sometimes. But I know I didn't wake myself up. I know it had to be divine intervention that woke me up. God woke me up. He propped my sleepy eyelids open and told me to get up. It's time to get up. But I still laid there for a little while, like most of you do. I laid there for a while and I thought about things. And when you're laying there and you're not sleeping, Brother Jackson, you can think about everything that you thought you need to think about. And you can solve the world's problems in your own mind while you're there awake. But then reality sets in. And you look at the clock and you say, oh, well, I guess it's time to get up now. When I get up on a Sunday morning, there's no doubt, should be no doubt in any of our minds where we're going. You're going to get ready and go to the Lord's house. And when you go to the Lord's house, that means you have to leave your house and head to the Lord's house. And when you get there, you ought to be there to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Not in any other manner. Not worshiping the preacher. Not worshiping the elders. Not worshiping your neighbor sitting next to you. But you ought to be there in spirit and truth to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And then just by chance, if the Lord comes, where is he coming to first? Coming to get his church. And if you just happen to be here when he comes, won't that be a wonderful thing, church? There's nothing better than serving the Lord in His house. And He's already dictated the terms. Forsake not yourself the assembly of forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. In Hebrews 10:25. So that tells me when the assembly opened up, I should have assembled. I should have been here. So if you're not here, you're disobeying the scriptures. Now, with that said, you need to become a member of the Lord's body. How do I become a member of the Lord's body? Well, it's simple. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And if you've already been baptized, but you've went astray, and I don't even want to entertain the argument that as a Christian, I don't go astray. Yes, you do. Christians go astray too. Sometimes some of us go so badly we fall back into the world. Brother Burnside likes to say you fall back into the begging elements of the world. But I'll tell you something. You can remedy that situation as well by asking God for His forgiveness, asking the church to pray with you and for you, and you pray for yourself. If you come forward here, when you get up here to make your confession, don't just ask the church to pray for you. Let the church know I'm willing to pray for myself as well. Amen. But I want y'all to help me to pray. And then when you ask for the help of the church, then you go back to being faithful to God, ask God to keep you faithful, and just continue to live your life. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.